Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to this edition of our Smart Garden Show, of course, presented every week by Great Garage Floors. Mary Meyer from the U of M is with us, answering those lawn and garden questions today. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Denny. You know, as tough as it is for people to live in Minnesota with our crazy weather, it's even harder for plants. I'm just amazed at the roller coaster of weather our plants are surviving.
That's the first thing I wanted to ask you about, looking at that forecast. And I, you know, seriously, we had the AC on this week and then the furnace came out.
So, which one? Which one?
Yeah, yes. But you're right. And that was going to be my question. Is anything being burned up, frozen out, or is it just making them stronger? What's the case?
If you've got to be a strong plant to persist in Minnesota and be something that comes back year after year, because we do have our rigorous weather conditions. I was so happy to see some rain. We had just 0.3 inches, but that's better than nothing. With cooler weather conditions, our flowers do last longer. So this is a positive. So if your lilacs are just coming out, they will last longer with the cooler temperatures. That high heat is very difficult. So many of us have tulips that look good for one day this year because it was too hot too soon. So the cooler temperature is good for lasting for flowers. But once we get down to below 40 degrees, it's like, oh my goodness, what about the tomato I put out? Or what about my houseplants? I mean, it's so we have to think about too cold all of a sudden.
What about, I'm trying to look for a silver lining here. What about as far as maybe growing some grass seed? Cool nights like this may be good, right?
You're right. You know, the one thing is the soil is a huge buffer. And so it is warm now. The soil temperatures have warmed up. Crabgrass has already germinated. Knotweed has germinated. So the soil temperature is warm. And the soil temperature will stay warm while the air temperature goes up and down and fluctuates. So that is good. So if you have seeded your lawn, yes, that probably will still come along okay. It will be a little slower, but the grass seed still will come okay because the soil temperature is going to stay the same.
Okay. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text as usual. Here's the one number to remember for either, 651-461-9226. Mary, a texter asks this earlier this morning, if purple ash tree appears to have ash borer starting, can it still be injected?
Well, it's probably not going to work. It will probably delay it a little bit. The injections, of course, are an insecticide that kills the ash borer. But if the borer is already in there, it's really difficult to compete with it. So, and the injections are fairly expensive. And the tree is probably, it probably is going to die. So if it was my tree, I would not do that. I would think about getting a replacement tree. Spend as much time thinking about what you're going to plant where you have to take out ash trees as you do taking them out.
And I think that would be you might be a good candidate, as I've done, is checking the U of M website and of course, getting into the Arboretum, even more fun. But you might get some good ideas from the website.
Yes, definitely. The Plant Elements of Design that Julie Weisenhorn has put together is a wonderful resource for, you put in there what your criteria is, and then the choices will come back. So for trees, I would really recommend you know all the species that you already have on your property and increase your diversity. So if you already have an oak and a maple, think about something different. Think about a catalpa tree or serviceberry or hackberry, some of our other native trees. If you have white oaks, you could plant red oaks, or you could plant bur oaks, pin oaks, some of the different oak trees. But diversity is really important, so plant a wide variety of trees.
Yes. This listener, Mary, says little green worms are defoliating the azaleas and columbine in my garden. Spraying with high water pressure or vigorously shaking does not help much. I don't want to stand and squish each culprit one by one. Any ideas?
Well, you could try insecticidal soap on that as well. Numerous green worms. Yes, they're on the columbine. There's a leaf. What is it called? It's in between the layers. But this one's a little bit different. But there are also sawflies, which are really a common worm that we see feed on these particular plants. So washing them off is a one thing, and then I would try insecticidal soaps. Again, with the warm temperatures, insects have reacted very quickly. So all of a sudden, you'll see some insects that really came out quickly with the warm temperatures. Things will really cool down with this coming week now with insects and their growth. But I would try insecticidal soap.
Okay. This texter says this, Mary, we have broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels, etc. Tried to harden them off before planting. Then came the 90s, and after that, the gale winds. We have not gotten them in the garden yet. Any helpful hints on keeping them alive in the little cups they come in?
Yes, that's really tough. And hardening them off when they've grown indoors, they're really soft and susceptible to breaking. But the ones that you mentioned, those are our cool season crops. And so, if your soil is not too wet, I would consider putting them outside and planting them. The cool temperatures this week will not bother them, and the soil temperatures are warmer than the air. So I would think about planting them this week. You could also, when you put them out in the garden, you could put some protection around them. You can put tomato cages and things like that will help. But if you can put a milk bottle or a gallon milk jug, you sink that in the soil around the plant, that provides a little bit of protection while the top is open, and then they will get bright sunlight. But with those plants, the cool season crops, I would recommend planting them.
Okay, very good. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Jean is calling in from Eagan, I believe. Jean, good morning. Thanks for the call. What is your question for Mary Meyer?
I have two questions. The first is an indoor snake plant I've had for about 10 years, but now the leaves are leaning way over, and I'm wondering if the pot is getting too small. The plant leaves are 56 inches high, but the pot itself is about 14 inches high and about 15 inches in diameter. And I don't know if I need to just cut some of the branches off, or I don't know if you call them leaves or branches, or if I need to take it outside and completely redo it in a different pot. I'm not exactly sure where to go from here.
Yes, I would think about repotting it, Jean. The snake plant, sometimes when they fall over like that, they like a lot of light. They also like well-drained soil. So if you repot them, once you take it out of the pot, you'll be able to see the root systems. Try to plant them at the same depth that they were growing. But yes, I would do replanting. And I would look for a soil mix that's well-drained. Not really totally a cactus mix, but I have bought some several soil mixes recently that have been really hold a lot of water. And they hold so much water that the snake plants really don't particularly like that. They want well-drained soil. But repotting, I think, is a good idea.
And you had another question?
Yes, the other is we have a Northwind maple and an Ice Dragon maple that were beautiful last year, but they both died. And this is the second time we've replaced them. They died, and clearly I don't think it's a good, location. So we're going to try to find another decorative dwarf-sized tree to replace those. One is in the sunshine all day and really direct light in the southwest area, and then the other gets a little bit of shade but also pretty sunny. Are there any suggestions you have for a smaller-type decorative tree that might stand a lot of sunlight?
Sure. You could try a service berry. That's one of our native trees, the Amelanchier. They have spring flowers and they have a berry on them. A service berry is really attractive to wildlife and has very few disease problems. I also like hawthorns. That's another small tree. Now, many of the hawthorns do have a thorn on them, but they don't have pest problems, and they have nice flowers, nice glossy foliage. So I would look for either of the two. Now, a lot of people love, of course, crab apples, because crab apples have the bloom, and then they have fruits also that can be attractive, and birds can be attractive too. I would get a disease-resistant crab apple, one that does not get apple scab. So we have the list of disease-resistant ones on the extension.umn.edu website. But yes, good for you in replanting those.
Very good. All right, Mary, let's hang on here just for a moment. We'll take a quick break and be right back on the other side. You have a lawn and garden question for Mary Meyer. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. From News Talk A30 WCCO, Great Garage Floor is our sponsor every week. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here on this Saturday morning, the 17th of May, where it is 46 degrees in the Twin Cities. Mary Meyer answering those lawn and garden questions this morning, either by text or by phone, 651-461-9226. Mary, callers and texters galore here this morning, as usual. Let's grab a couple of phone calls first. Michael, first up, calling from St. Paul. Michael, thank you. What is your question?
Well, I'm a biology teacher, and I have a native plant garden by our school. And what's happened over the last couple of years, some crown vetch has invaded into the space. And we've had some of the kids out there, you know, trying to pull it, it seems like it's practically an intractable problem. So what I was wondering, we have this milestone herbicide, and we're going to spray that on there and try to kill it. And then how long do I have to wait after that's been sprayed and I can see that the plants are dead? Can I replant?
Good questions, Michael. Crown vetch, an introduced plant along many of the highways in Minnesota, is a very tough plant to get rid of. Although some years it actually winter kills the top of the plant, it has a huge seed bank, and so that comes back quite readily. So pulling it out, that's difficult. A herbicide really is your best solution. I'm not familiar with milestone. I have to look that up and see what the active ingredient is in that. But with all use of pesticides, reading the label is the most important thing and applying it according to the label. So I assume, I'm finding a little bit about this. It is a selective herbicide, so it won't kill everything that it hits. But reading the label is really important, and applying it when the time is right, according to the label. So it should say Crown Vetch, or the botanical name, as well as the common name. Let's see, Corilla is the botanical name of that. But it should say Crown Vetch on the label in order to legally use it on that plant. So I think that timing is important. Today, you know, 46 degrees, well, it's a Saturday. I don't know. That's probably too cool. It's probably will tell you the exact temperature on the label. So reading the label is critically important. And with Crown Vetch, herbicide is probably your best bet.
All right, Michael, good luck with that. Todd calling in from Bloomington this morning. Thank you, Todd. What is your question for Mary?
Good morning, Mary. We planted Twist and Shout hydrangeas a couple years ago, and they're slow to come up. We cut them off about a foot from the soil. Is that typical?
Yes, Todd, some hydrangeas are really slow to come back in the spring. Sometimes they take a little bit of time. It also was a very tough winter in that we went into the winter with extreme drought conditions. So a lot of plants were really, really weak in the winter. And then we had no snow, very little or no snow cover. So for many plants, you know, plants that have been hardy for me for many years have died because of the winter conditions. So I would wait a couple of more weeks to see exactly whether or not they're totally dead. But Twist and Shout is one of the newer hydrangeas to come available, and I would give it a couple more weeks.
All right. This listener sent a text, Mary, that says, if you try to control the height by pruning back an indeterminate tomato plant, will it lessen the production?
It can, yes, depending on how much you cut it back. So indeterminate tomato plants continue to have a growing point, and they get taller and taller and taller, and then along their side shoots they will have the flowers and more flowers. So you need a tall cage, 4 feet or so, to grow an indeterminate plant, because it will just keep going. Determinate plants, on the other hand, determinate plants, they end with the flowers at the top, and so they are a shorter plant. And you know, I don't like to prune my tomatoes because I'm interested in getting as many tomatoes as possible. I know many people do prune their tomatoes. If you prune it once, that will help keep it in bounds. But I would say don't do it a lot or it will affect your production.
Oh, interesting. Before we break for weather, another texter says, I've noticed that many of the maple helicopters have a pink tint to them. Do you know why this might be?
Oh, I saw this with my grandson just a couple of days ago. We were really looking those over. I think it has to do with the kind of maple that you're seeing. A red maple or the Janala maple, they tend to have more color in their seed pods. But yeah, watching those helicopters is a lot of fun. And of course, with the winds that we had, this is why all of a sudden we had all these seeds in front of us, because the wind really really put them into action, really made them come out of the trees.
Boy, that's for sure. And on cars and everything. Okay. Hang on, Mary. We'll take a break, have a look at that forecast, and be right back with the second half of our Smart Garden Show, brought to us by Great Garage Floors. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is back answering those lawn and garden questions. And Mary, we always like to urge folks any time of the year to get to the Arboretum.
Yes, the Arboretum, of course, beautiful this time of year. A wonderful tulip display. The tulips are pretty much gone now, but the lilacs are at their peak out there, so they're really beautiful. There are many other things that are blooming at the Arboretum. And, you know, I was looking at the website today. We do recommend you get a advance ticket, a time ticket, but there are lots of open times on the weekend, but it does get very busy. They're guided garden tours at the Arboretum. I kind of forgot about these. They're just a 30-minute tour if you don't know what to do or what to look at. And they take off right there from the main building for half an hour. You can have a guided tour. There's also May markets going on today with lots of interesting natural or plant-related vendors that are there for one day. So a great resource that we have at the Arboretum. And you know, we get calls, Denny, about what small tree should I plant,
yeah,
or, you know, putting in replacement plants, et cetera. And that's what the Arboretum is great for. You can see small trees, large trees, perennials, prairie, native plant communities, as well as the built gardens at the Arboretum. So if you become a member, it's always free. If you're not a member, you get a ticket in advance, and a wonderful place to visit, take friends if they're from out of town, or spend some time outdoors walking in nature.
Oh, it's just a perfect place for all of the above. Listener sent this via text, Mary. They want to control quack grass. They're asking about how do I cut it? And what's the general rule of controlling quack grass?
This is one of our worst weeds in Minnesota. It tends to really love our cool and rigorous weather conditions that we have. This is very, very difficult to get rid of. Quackgrass has an extensive root system, and a piece of it, an inch or so, even if you leave an inch of the root system, it can regenerate again in the soil. So weeding it out by hand, cutting it back, it is not a one-time issue in removing quackgrass. You just have to do it a lot. If you want to use a chemical control, the glyphosate or Roundup, a total kill will kill it, but you have to put that on a couple of times to actually get rid of it. And of course, something like glyphosate will kill everything that it touches. So I would just say weed it out, cut it back as much as you can. Try to plant other aggressive plants in the area that will actually compete with it as well.
Okay. This listener via text asks this: I have not planted my tomatoes, peppers, and zinnia. I've been hardening them off, but they are in the house, quote, mostly now again. Question is, can I be undoing the hardening?
If they're in there for quite a while, yes. But I would say that in this coming week and even tomorrow, when the temperature is 50 and above, you could put them outside again in the shade to keep them in the hardening off stage rather than keep them in the house the whole time. But no, you won't undo that. And I would just, as much as possible, keep them outside.
Okay. Speaking of our temperatures, listener wants to know, at what low temperature should we cover tomatoes and peppers, cukes?
Yes, this is a good question. Well, they really don't like temperatures below 50. If it's below 40, they really don't like it. Things will really get slowed down below 40. But so that's it. If you can cover them up, that will be helpful. But they won't die until it gets down to like below 35 and into 32. They just are not going to grow well.
Okay. So we have a phone call this morning. Len checking in from Woodbury, I believe. Len, good morning. What is your question for Mary?
Well, I don't know if she's going to help me or not, but we have an issue, not here in the Twin Cities, but northern Minnesota, where in our yard, our maple trees are being basically destroyed by the squirrels. And I was wondering if there's any way possible to alleviate that problem.
Oh, wildlife management is always a challenge, Len. So I'm not sure what the squirrels are doing, but if they're eating a lot of the ends or some of the younger branches of the trees, sometimes they will do that. You could try planting more trees to try to make sure that some of the trees will grow. You could try alternative feed for the squirrels, or maybe squirrel management. Looking at some of the wildlife pages on our extension.umn.edu website to try to put give the squirrels other alternatives for what they're doing. I'm not sure exactly what they're doing to your maples, but there again, if you look that up, you can read about squirrels and what they're doing. It might not be that that detrimental what they're actually doing, but try to understand why they're feeding on certain plants. I would look up at extension.umn.edu squirrel and wildlife management.
Okay. Thanks for the call. A texter wants to know, my new garden is in heavy clay soil. Is there a natural product or a way to loosen the soil? It's too large to bring in a whole bunch of black soil.
The best thing that you can do is add organic matter year after year and gradually increase the gradually attempt to change the structure of your soil. So compost is a good thing to add to that. We have a lot of heavy clay soils in Minnesota, but we have a lot of plants that will grow in those conditions. And the good thing about clay soils is they hold a lot of water. So with drier conditions, they're actually less likely to dry out. But I would consider adding compost. You should check with your local municipality. Some of the cities, like Plymouth, where I live, will give out free compost, or they have compost at their mulching sites, their recycling sites.
Okay. Let's take another phone call, this time Ron checking in from Waconia this morning. Thanks, Ron. What is your question for Mary Meyer?
Yes, about a year ago I got some grass in my yard that's a real fine light color that's spreading. It's really thick like you would see on a par of a golf course. I think it's creeping bent grass. What can I do to get rid of that?
It could be creeping bent grass. Yes, sometimes, especially with moisture, when it rains, you can really see this spread out. Well, this is a challenge, Ron, because many of the herbicides that kill grass kill any kind of grass. So it's difficult. If you end up killing the bent, you're going to end up killing Kentucky bluegrass, perennial rye, or fescue that you have there as well. So you could try digging out this clump with a shovel and then replanting the other grass that you have, which I assume is Kentucky bluegrass or perennial rye or fine fescues. So that's one thing you could do. If you use a herbicide, anything that will kill this grass will kill all of your good grass as well. So, and I guess another alternative is maybe learn to live with it with a different kind of grass that you have. And depending on how big the clump is, if you can take it out or live with it, that's a challenge.
Wow. A listener, this is a comment, said, we're talking about replacing trees with other kind of trees. Well, I planted, Texas is the black cherry tree to replace my ash trees. It's great, beautiful tree with little cherries the birds love. So,
Yeah, black cherry, wonderful tree. Yes, I've replanted a black cherry where I took my ash out as well. That is one of our native trees, very underplanted, underutilized. Great choice. Good for you.
Another phone call. Ed, this time calling in from Worthington. Ed, thanks for calling. What's your question for Mary?
Yeah, question is on the netting and straw and to reseed grass. Can I lay that over existing grass without killing it?
It depends on how thick that netting is, Ed. I've seen some of those straw blankets that are really pretty loose, so they've got quite a bit of light will come through them. So if it's pretty loose, that'll be okay. If it's really a total dense mat that you cannot see through, then that is going to be hard for the existing grass that's there. I don't know if there's any way you can cut that netting or keep it, you know, put it in pieces where you want it to grow. But I would try to minimize that. If it's thick, it's going to be tough on the existing grass.
Okay. Texter says this, I purchased herbs and have not put them in my raised beds yet. Should I wait till it's warmer?
I have planted most of my herbs. You know, the things like salvia and thyme are okay. But basil, that's a basil is really more of a tropical one that likes the warmer and hot conditions. So, you know, I guess I would wait till maybe Monday. I don't know what Sunday night's temperature is. Tonight, I think, is a colder night, right, with the weather forecast. But I would maybe wait a day or two with especially the tropical herbs like basil.
Tonight, 41, the low. Sunday night, 42. But then as we move along, the lows will be around 46.
Oh,
or warmer. So a couple of these next cool. Two nights will be the coldest. I tell you what, before we break, let's grab one more phone call. Mark, this time calling in from Ham Lake this morning. Mark, thank you. What is your question?
More of a comment and offering some information on the quackgrass conundrum that seems to be popular right now. I found that you can systemically remove it by simply using a Roundup spray bottle and treating individual blades of quackgrass. And I know this seems tedious, but it works. By just treating a few of those blades that emerge, if you have a small outcropping or patch of it, it will affect the rhizome system below ground that you don't see. And I've noticed that if I treat one blade of grass not far away, the rest of the other plants are starting to die off. So if you have patience and you're willing to reapply, which I think you've said it takes time, you can effectively remove it or control it without affecting your better grass that's around it.
All right. Good. Thanks for the tip, Mark. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's great, Mark. Thank you for reminding me. This is the dauber methods. They are actually some implements you can buy that have pesticide, like in a cane-like thing, and at the end it drips out, and so you can apply it, or you can use a sponge or something that you make up yourself. Yeah, very tedious, but very effective in that you put it exactly on the plant you want to.
Very good.
So,
all right.
Another smart listener.
We have a lot of them, as you know. Very good. Hang on, Mary. We'll take this quick break back by a couple of minutes here and with more of the final minutes of our Smart Garden Show brought to us by Great Garage Floors. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. We are here on CCR every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Mary Meyer from the U of M is the one answering these questions. We've talked about the Arboretum, as we like to do every Saturday. And we've been mentioning the last couple of shows that today is a big sale. Tell us about
it. Yes. Well, so the Hennepin County, Ramsey County, and Dakota County Master Gardeners are all having their plant sale today. So most of this is in the morning, but you can find the information just by Googling Hennepin County Master Gardeners. Hennepin's is in Hopkins at the Pavilion. Lots of plants, and Master Gardeners are there to answer any garden question you have and help make recommendations for you. So a great time to be buying plants. Even this cool weather conditions, nobody's going to have a heat stroke working
That's
outside
right.
today. But a great chance to get new plants and actually talk to some master gardeners at their plant sales.
So that's great. Yeah, today. We've been mentioning
today,
the 17th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be a nice, comfortable day, too,
yes.
Like you suggested. Let's take one more phone call before we grab some text messages. Debbie, calling from Minneapolis this morning. Thank you, Debbie. What is your question?
Yes, hi. My boulevard grass is in terrible shape, and I would like to plant a no-upkeep replacement. There's a bit of a slope, and the area has two large maples with sun, but also a difficult area to water.
I would recommend, Debbie, the fine fescues. So they're usually sold as shade lawn grasses, but they love the sun. They will grow in sun. They are shade and drought tolerant. So that is the type of grass seed I would recommend. They tend to be slower growing. They're very fine textures, but they require less mowing than some of the other grasses that we have, and they have good hardiness. So I would look for the fine fescues. So when you pick up a box of shady lawn grass mix, it's required by law that it tells you exactly what seed is in there. So you look on the back end, it will say Chewing's Red Fescue, other kinds of red fescue, Sheep's Fescue, Hard Fescue. All of those fine fescues, multiple different kinds, are what's in the shady lawn mix. And usually those are the more expensive grass seeds are really what the best buy for your money. Very inexpensive grass seeds are often annual grasses that really will not live as perennials in our area. So a good shady lawn mix with several fine fescues should work for you.
Okay. Listener wants to know via text, does raised garden soil need to be amended each year? If so, what should I use?
Probably the most needed amendment will be fertilizer for your raised bed, usually if you've had vegetables or annuals growing there. The difficult thing in the spring, many of our soils get compacted over the winter with the weight of snow or any moisture that we have on them. So I would encourage you to turn over your raised bed and provide some aeration in the soil, to actually use a shovel and turn it over the whole bed if possible, so that you lighten it up and aerate it. It won't necessarily need any more soil, but a soil test is a great thing to do, and then you can determine if it needs nutrients, because many of our vegetables, annual flowers, are heavy feeders, and we have high expectations for these plants to produce a lot of vegetables, which usually requires additional fertilizer.
Okay. This listener asked this. They have a rhubarb plant. They transplanted about 4 years ago. It doesn't seem to be doing well. The plant comes up, but the stems are like pencil thick. The leaves are not terribly big, and they're wondering, what can I do to get the plant to grow better?
This is interesting. So I'm wondering if you planted it too deep when you actually transplanted it. So the number one thing rhubarb needs is sun. Full sun conditions. They are not picky about soil type, so heavy clay soil is fine. Soil is usually not an issue, but pencil thin stems just means that's not a good sign. So I would say think about moving it and seeing that you plant it higher, or you could always buy a new rhubarb and start over with a younger transplant.
All right. We're just about out of time, but I want to remind folks on a couple of things. First of all, get to the Arboretum.
You're going to love it. Yeah, right. And, always beautiful.
Yes, and like you suggested earlier, bring family or friends. They will love it too. And what about the website? Tell folks who haven't checked it out yet about the U of M's website.
Yes, so our extension.umn.edu, you know, I look at this website a lot. Even though I do know quite a bit about plants, I still look at this website a lot. Extension.umn.edu, and click on Yard and Garden. You know, we have a newsletter that you can subscribe to and regularly will come in your email. And we also have a turf newsletter. If you're really into grasses, you can get a turf newsletter. But every week now, there's new information published on that website. And then, of course, there are resources. You can find out what weed is this, what insect is this, and you can connect with Master Gardeners online for answering your questions as well. Yeah. So extension.umn.edu.
Use it all the time. Mary, thanks so much. Always fun.
Always a pleasure. I love talking about gardening. Thank you, Denny.
All right. Mary Meyer from the U of M. Yeah, check out those plant sales today, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, all right. Mary, talk soon.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.